So we've seen then that the last judgment and the appointing of that day is for the manifestation of God's glory, and particularly of his mercy and his justice. Justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne, and mercy goes before his face. You will observe also that this manifestation of God's excellencies of mercy and justice are in close connection with the final disposing of his creatures. How is this mercy and justice seen? Well, it's tied up with how he disposes of those who are before him in the judgment. That's how it's manifested. And so the paragraph goes, the divine mercy is seen in that day in the elect. The end of God's appointing this day is for the manifestation of the glory of his mercy in the eternal salvation of the elect, and of his justice in the damnation of the reprobate who are wicked and disobedient. And so the mercy is manifested particularly in the elect, those who are on his right hand, and the divine justice is manifested in that day in the reprobate who are on his left hand. And in that day, God's people will be seen to be vessels of mercy, and the ungodly will be exhibited as vessels of wrath in his divine justice. And so it's seen in both these camps, mercy magnified in one and the justice magnified in the other. This distinction is referred to by Paul in Romans 9. This is one of the proof texts that the divines give, Romans 9, verses 22 and 23. What of God willing to show his wrath? This is the manifestation of his wrath. And to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory. This is manifesting the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. And so this is what God is doing through all time. He's manifesting his long-suffering with the vessels of wrath and his justice towards them as they finally are dealt with in their impenitence and sinfulness, and also the vessels of mercy. He's bringing them to glory, and in that day they'll be seen to be the vessels of mercy, and he'll be manifesting the riches of the glory of his grace toward them. And so it's for the manifestation of the glory of God in his mercy towards the saved and in his justice in their damnation, in the damnation of the reprobate. So God's mercy is glorified in the saved. Of course, justice is glorified in them too. We're not saying that there's any injustice in regard to those who obtain mercy, and there's no injustice done to those who don't obtain mercy. There's justice in both groups and towards both groups, and even the unconverted and the unsaved have not been without offers of mercy, and even the experience of the goodness of God at times whenever they were on the earth and in life. But in that day, preeminently mercy towards one and justice towards the other. Mercy is not inconsistent with justice. Both have kissed at the cross, justice and mercy, and both that day again in the day of judgment, they will kiss at the judgment seat as well. But the elect will be those who are rejoicing in the mercy of God, and the reprobate are those who will see it and know it in those who have obtained it, and they'll also know that they have experienced the justice of God. There's no injustice in God, And they'll see that, they'll realize that, even though they haven't obtained mercy, they have not experienced injustice, but justice. And then will the people of God say, "Great is thy mercy toward us." And then shall they sing as they have never sung before, "His mercy endureth forever." And all the ungodly and all the fallen angels will see that the saved are vessels of mercy. And whenever the saved see the ungodly go into hell, they will say, "There but for the mercy of God go I." And it'll be the magnification of his grace. Note the phrase, "in the eternal salvation of the elect." The manifestation of the glory of his mercy in the eternal salvation of the elect. That will be completed, of course, in that day. And the mercy of God in that day is seen. It's seen in the election of the saints, because it's eternal salvation of the elect. It'll be known that they were chosen, that they were elected. What was that election? It was an election in mercy. It was an election in grace. The mercy was sovereign. They were sinners too, like those who were going into hell. They were just the same kind of sinners. But they were chosen as vessels of mercy. They obtained mercy because of the election of grace. And so the divines here are quite right to call them the elect. God set his love upon them. He chose to be merciful to them. Savingly merciful. And Paul again brings out this truth in Romans 9. Quoting what was said to Moses, God said to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me then, why doth he yet find fault? For who have resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" You see, now sinners argue like that. Romans 9, 15 to 20. They argue like that now. Why does he find fault? Who can resist his will? He's had mercy on some. He hasn't had mercy on the other. That's not fair. And the man is told to be, why do you reply thus against God? You can't speak thus. But they do speak thus. But in this day, they don't speak thus. Because there is the manifestation of the mercy and the manifestation of the justice. They see it. They feel it. They are silent. There are no questions raised. It's seen in the salvation process, this mercy. It's seen in the forgiveness of sins that they experience and have through a mediator. It's seen in that righteousness that covers them in that day and by which they are justified, this mercy seen in all of this. It's seen in the gracious judge who has become incarnate for them. That's why it's important that it is their Savior who is the judge, and it is the man Christ Jesus who is upon the judgment seat, because he is that mercy. He is the merciful and gracious advocate. He is the one who has answered for the sins of his people and has atoned for them all in his great mercy. And so this mercy is embodied in him, who became incarnate, suffered and died, rose again for their justification, and who sits at God's right hand and comes to judge the world in righteousness. And now he identifies with his people, magnifying his mercy to them. "Thy mercy has made me great." So the salvation of mercy is called by the divines eternal salvation. Let's think about that for a moment. The manifestation of the glory of his mercy in the eternal salvation of the elect. And of course, this is a biblical expression. This is always striking us as we go through the confession, how careful the divines are to use the language of Scripture, our English version, of course. They use the text of the Word of God all the time. And this expression, eternal salvation, is a biblical expression, as is the elect, as is in nearly every word in this paragraph. Hebrews 5, verse 9, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. And of course, that expression is taken from the Old Testament Scriptures. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation, with an eternal salvation. They'll be saved in Christ, saved in the Lord. You can't be saved outside him, but in the Lord they're saved, and it's an eternal salvation. And the divines want to emphasize this, that this salvation that is being seen in the judgment day that they are possessing is and always has been an eternal salvation. And why is it called that? Well, it's because it was planned in eternity past. It's an eternal salvation, planned and in the mind of God before the creation of the world. It's the salvation in which the everlasting covenant was formed for the elect, the covenant of God, the covenant of grace. An everlasting covenant that Jesus ratified by his blood, because it's an everlasting eternal salvation. And the election is eternal because it was before time. And because also he who obtains this salvation and who conveys it by his power, he is himself eternal. And of course it leads to eternal life and everlasting bliss, and also because it endures. It's not a save today, lost tomorrow, the whole thing in question in that judgment day. No, it's the eternal salvation, the enduring salvation of the elect that they have in grace. And so there are many reasons why it's called eternal salvation.